Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we coming from our basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
Welcome to another episode of the podcast, Theanos, where this week we're going to talk about actual tigers in the wild instead of the tigers from Detroit. You good with that, Eric?
Hey, that's what people who are searching for our podcast and leaving reviews were after. That's exciting.
Just giving the people what they want. Do you have a favorite kind of tiger? I feel like you're the type that might.
How many types are there? Siberian?
Yeah, there's Sumatran, which I'm assuming is from Indonesia somewhere, or possibly sure. Africa. Are there tigers in Africa?
No, I think they're all in Asia, aren't they?
That's why I was asking. I'm not sure.
No, I think tigers are Asian. Sumatran tigers, that's really a thing. Yeah. Bengal. So what did we say? Bengal, Siberian, is that one?
I think so.
I don't know.
I think there's also white tigers. Those are the ones that like don't jump well and stuff.
Terrible white dancers. Tigers are not a separate species, though, are they? They're just a variation of other types of tigers.
I'm shockingly not super expert on this subject.
All right. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
The voice you just heard, Eric Wayne. I'm Jordan Hall. Eric, this is our 50th episode of the show. Did you get me anything?
I got you the greatest gift of all, and that is myself.
Yikes.
There's plenty of it.
What's your favorite memory from the first, 49?
Oh, so many good memories. I don't want to spoil it. There'll be more memories coming up.
Oh,
how about you? You go first.
The whole Gaswaldo Garcia bit. Gaswaldo Garcia. That's kind of an old one.
I forgot about that. That was good.
It's not my best moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. When we get to power rankings, I'll have some tender moments.
So Eric, I have a story to tell you in the open this week that has nothing to do with the Tigers. Is that okay?
That might be healthy.
Yes. Okay. All of you listeners, sorry if this isn't of interest, but I think you'll like it. So this past week, Whitney and I were coming home from the grocery store. Not tonight. It was earlier. It was this weekend. Evening, maybe 8:30, somewhere in that range, like, you know, pre-dusk. We live in a neighborhood. It's decent size, but it's not like huge. You know, it's a regular size neighborhood. So on one side of our driveway, we have kind of like a little embankment area that's held in place by railroad ties. So it kind of makes like a little deck. Well, on this one particular evening, we pull into our driveway and there is a lady just sitting there on the deck, smoking a cigarette, talking on the phone.
At your house.
At our house. We roll down the window and I ask her, you know, is there something I can help you with? Because, you know, there's a stranger sitting in my driveway. And she's like, no, I'm good. Just talking to my sister. And Whitney and I look at each other like, okay, well, what now? Like, where do you go from here? So she must have like sensed our confusion or concern. I don't know, whatever. I'm sure it was all over our faces. And she's like, so do you want me to leave? And Whitney's like, yes, please. Like, this is our house. So we think the whole thing's done. We pull the rest
of the – Wait. How close to the house is she?
I actually took
– she's just like by the sidewalk or
– No, here. I'm texting you a picture of where is in relation – I'll post this on Twitter so you guys can see.
Okay.
It's in the process of sending. Good radio. So I'll go on with the story. So we think the whole thing's done. We pull the rest of the way up the driveway into the garage, and she starts walking towards us and asks if I know so-and-so, who is a guy who I'm friends with and actually played basketball at high school, who lived in the neighborhood. And she said that she was his mom. So can you see what I'm talking about?
You have sent me a photograph of your home, and there is no photo of the lady. There is an arrow written indicating where the lady was sitting.
Well, I didn't take a picture of her there. Had I known where this was going, I might have, but I didn't.
Okay, continue.
So it's the mom of a guy I played basketball with in high school, who lived in the neighborhood. And
okay.
So she says that, which makes it a little less outrageously weird, but I've never met or even seen this woman before. So she goes on to tell us that she's sitting in her resting spot this is her resting spot when she gets tired on walks.
Oh.
That was her reaction.
She's a frequent visitor.
So, you know, we wrap up with some chit-chat before she finally leaves. Whitney and I are just like, what just happened to us? So I looked at her resting spot the next day, and there's like 4 or 5 cigarette butts in that planter in the picture. So clearly this is not the first time that she's just chilled on our porch in our drive. Like, her house is, I don't know, I mean, it can't be more than a quarter mile. Like, it's just around the corner. Like, I don't know how you could possibly be tired and not be able to make it back to your house.
You should feel proud and complimented that your home looks attractive.
Oh, it does.
And looks wonderful to people to come and sit.
It does not. We are not we don't have green grass. We have weeds everywhere. I think what it is that we're the only place that has kind of the casing around our driveway, if you will.
Yeah, it's a sitting spot.
It is a sitting spot. I just typically would have assumed that my family and friends might have been more who's doing the sitting on our property. So do you think we handled the situation okay? You're older and wiser. You've probably had this happen to you a time or two. Did we handle it okay?
I come home and people are littering my front yard like crazy. No, I mean, you'd be friendly. But next time, Hall, I think what you should do is provide her a nice chair by the sidewalk. It's her resting spot. What are you to violate her resting spot? Come on.
That's true.
Give her an ashtray and a nice pad for her to sit on.
Yeah, no, I'm not definitely not doing that. So anyway, that brings us to this week's leadoff question. Who from the world of the Detroit Tigers would you think make the best or worst house guest?
I would say the best would have to be Don Kelly, because he's has impeccable manners.
That's true.
And is going to be very polite. Worst, I feel like, would be maybe a guy like Mike Pelfrey, who kind of overstays his welcome. Right? Another bad house guest, I feel like, would be Bruce Rondone, because he's going to just eat all your food and he takes up a lot of space.
Yeah. He would. And, nothing,
you know, left. Maybe doesn't do any chores. You know, doesn't get his work in. I don't know. What do you think?
For best, I want somebody who brings something to the party, so to speak. Like either cooking or story. I don't know. I figure Zimmerman could probably throw a heck of a fish fry.
Because he's from Wisconsin?
Yeah, they have lots of fish up there. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. And also worst would be Iglesias. My guess is that he spends hours in the bathroom, probably hogging that in the morning.
Yeah. His clothes are going to take up so much space.
Going to hog all your mirrors. And he's probably going to be like constantly asking you to take pictures of him in his white button downs. So there goes all your spare time.
Yeah. He strikes me as a little high maintenance, maybe.
Yeah, just a little bit. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can at podcastianos.com. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. I'm steadily creeping towards 150 followers. Can you believe that?
Getting to the big time there, bud.
And facebook.com/podcastianos. And once again, we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever the platform you're listening to the show on. I said it last week that if you leave us a review, try and make it funny, and we'll read it out. I was actually going back through our reviews today to see if anyone had left us one. They hadn't, but I was reminded of the with the person who left us the excuse me, the one-star review because you didn't stick to sports. Good times.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast Giannis.
So last week on this very show, we discussed how these next 2 weeks were going to be really big. Do you remember that?
Yes, I did remember that.
Well, since then, we have gone 2-5. And have given pretty much every indication of being completely deceased. So I'll start this by asking you the question that you posed in the notes that we went over today. We're toast, right?
Yeah, that was the question I asked. We're toast, right? And to me, the answer is becoming increasingly clear. Yeah, yeah, we're kind of toast.
We're not toast.
Right. Now, so Evan Woodbury, who we've had on the show, writes for MLive. He wrote a really nice article, I thought, saying, how can the Tigers salvage the season? And I read through this, and he said there's 9 ways the Tigers can salvage the season. Okay. All right. 1, don't screw up this road trip. We didn't start so good
off there. To a flying start, yeah. There.
2. Don't worry about the Indians. He says the Indians are going to win the AL Central. I totally agree with that. The wild card might be there for the taking. But once you cross off a divisional win, you lose a lot of certainty, right? So that's not so good. Get Verlander back on track. Maybe. Hope for a miracle with Anibal Sanchez. We saw some quality last night, but what in the last 2 to 3 years of Sanchez makes you feel real confident that, yeah, he's going to get that going?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, there's a chance, but.
And even if he does get it going, do you see him being a significant upgrade on what Boyd gave us earlier in the year or what Verhagen could come up and give us? I mean.
Right. The marginal difference is not huge.
No.
Even if he's good. Keep working the big 3 in the bullpen.
Check there.
Justin Wilson, Alex Wilson, Shane Green. But we saw what last night. Alex Wilson couldn't get it done. You know, it's pretty tough. Hope Maglio stays healthy and hitting. You know, maybe. Yeah, you hope he does, but not clear that he will.
And to be fair, it's not that he keeps doing all those things. He has to get healthy and start hitting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Defense wins championships, he says. So we need our defense to step up. Maybe not so much with Nick. I thought our defense has been as good as they can be.
Yeah, exactly. Which,
given the personnel, I think our defense is performing to their standard, which is not a high standard.
No.
Keep churning through the mud hens. You'd have to hope for a lot from guys like Hicks, Ducey, Presley, Stump. I mean, this is not real positive.
It's not what great teams do.
Not what great teams do. And 9, convince Al Avila and Chris Illich that the team is worth keeping together. Well, I suppose if they can do the first 8 things, maybe they can do number 9. But if they don't do the first 8 things, number 9 isn't going to happen. So if you look at all the things that at least Evan has outlined that they need to do to make something happen this season, it's becoming increasingly hard to feel it.
Yeah. Speaking of feeling themselves, feeling it, I think it was Anthony Fenech that, or maybe I think it was Beck, one of them, tweeted something effective that the Tigers are feeling themselves. I think it was on Friday after they won the 2 in Tampa. And yep. they proceeded to go ahead and lose the next three. It feels like a momentum thing. Like, we can't gather the momentum. And when we get a little taste of it, we just cannot keep tabs on that. Like, every breakdown of our team, hitting, fielding, base running, starting pitching, relief pitching, like, all of those facets have weaknesses, and we can't get them all playing together well on the same night or right. over the course of a week. And until that happens, which, quite frankly, I don't know if we have the ability to do that, we're not going to be able to have the momentum and keep it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. Of all the phases of the game that you've identified, to me, I still think it really comes down to pitching. This year, we simply have not had enough pitching. Starting pitching has not been good enough, and the bullpen has not been good enough. The other two phases of the game, I think we are good enough for a playoff spot or more, but the pitching simply isn't good enough.
So here's where we sit. We are 5.5 back of the Indians, and this is coming into play on, what's this, Tuesday?
Yeah.
5.5 back of the Indians, let's be honest, that gap is going to widen. We are 3 back of the wild card, but we have 9 teams to jump to get there.
See, that's not good.
That is not good. What also is not good is that we are closer to last place Oakland 1.5 games than we are to the wild card.
Ugh, it's getting ugly. Yeah, we're toast. Oh, it pains me to say it, but
yeah,
this isn't going good.
I feel like last year, the narrative that you and I pushed out, and I'm sure a lot of other people did, was just try and win one of those wild card spots and see what happens. You know, you're not guaranteed a 5-game series. You just got one. We have JV. We have Fulmer. One of those two guys can get the job done. But like, if we get to one of those games and we win it, we don't have a prayer of winning another series, let alone 3 more series after that. Like,
yeah.
It's getting to the point where there really isn't a whole lot of a point, unless things change drastically, of even trying to snag that. We're not a World Series team.
The Indians and the Astros, to pick two, are just far better teams than we are. They're way better.
And if you're not going to make a serious run at the World Series, what good does it do you to, you know, get an extra 4 or 5 playoff games? I mean, it'd be fun for us, but
yeah. I mean, if you had some repressed ability, like if you had some intrinsic power that just didn't work out and you just need to, you know, capture a playoff spot, yeah, you try for that. But if you are really kind of modeling your way in, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I'm growing to be team sell pretty quickly, and that's getting to be pretty clear.
Yeah. Okay, so if we are toast, which we've pretty much determined that we are, who do we sell, and when are you ready to – I mean, obviously it takes two to tango, as they say. It takes two teams to make deals happen, but when are you looking to actively get moving in that direction?
Usually things get a little spicy about a week or two before the deadline, right? I mean, you're doing your work now. You're doing your due diligence. You're scouting potential trade partners, farm systems and stuff. You're doing all your homework, but things don't really get hot and heavy until 1 or 2 weeks before the deadline, right?
That seems fair. I mean, there's an occasional deal. I'm trying to think, like when John Lester went to the A's, I think that was like a couple weeks before the deadline.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, typically
you're not waiting
a couple weeks.
Yeah, you're not waiting for yourself. You're waiting for the other teams to have their business sorted out, whether they're going to be buyers.
Yeah.
That's what you're waiting for.
So I have it broken down into tiers. These are my personal tiers, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Obviously, the first tier is JD. Like, he's by himself. He's the big piece. He's, you know, out of contract at the end of the year. If we're selling, then I mean, he borderline has to go. Beyond him, I have guys who could be useful for contenders. Not necessarily that they'd bring back the same amount of people, but you have Kinsler, Justin Wilson, and Avila. Which, could you ever imagine Avila being in that category when the season started?
No. Like, you'd think who's going to, you know, pick him up and want to be a buyer for him. But he's the cheapest, most affordable guy that we have.
I was looking at the fantasy baseball, which I know that doesn't encompass everything, but he's like the second or third statistically best catcher in baseball this year.
Yeah, he's great.
Blows my mind. Okay, third tier, you have guys who have large contracts, but in the right situation, I could see somebody possibly taking a crack at them. That, of course, would be Verlander and possibly Justin Upton. Verlander clearly more realistic than Upton, but you know, Justin's had a heck of a year. If somebody was really looking to spend, I could see that happening. And then you have a couple answers.
Verlander would have to have a really good next few weeks. Like, he would need to – his next few innings would have to be really strong.
Because the package on him would have to be so good that it's worth trading the face of your franchise. I mean, if you're
I don't think so, though, Jordan.
No?
I don't think the package would have to be very big at all. Because you'd be shedding $28 million for the next – plus an option for the next 2 years. So he's got $28 million next year, $28 million in 2019. I mean – you'd want something for him, but I don't think you'd need a haul for him for the Tigers to let him go. Now it depends on if that club's going to eat all his salary.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we're paying him, we might as well have him in Detroit putting butts in seats. Right. You know, clearly Miggy's not going anywhere. Go ahead.
His contract's just too expensive. You can't move Cabrera.
And
the same thing with Victor. Like, nobody's buying him.
So you do have kind of your two, and, you know, Victor will be gone relatively quickly, and Miggy is kind of your face of the franchise that you could sell to the fan base. I don't know. I could
Verlander, I think, is movable.
I definitely agree. I think it would take something that made a lot of baseball sense to be able to sell that one to the fan base. And then maybe you have Iggy and Alex Wilson. Wilson clearly not helping his case there. Guys that, you know, somebody could want them. So I think the big thing for the front office to determine, and, you know, we're kind of playing that role right now, is exactly how far do you want to go? Do you want to burn this thing all the way to the ground? Or are you going to kind of try to rebuild on the fly like we tried to do in, what was it, 2015?
Right. Try to do a reverse experiment with me just a second. Say, all right, I'm going to identify a handful of guys that I would not move under any circumstances. These are young guys, they're cost controlled, and they're going to be good performers for me. Who do you got?
You got Fulmer, Norris, yes, and probably Castellanos. I mean, but I could be talked into moving him. It'd be bad for our brand, but I could be talked into that.
So to that, I agreed with those. And the other guys I had were, I put a mark by Shane Green. You know, he's young, cost controlled, but you said Norris, right? Daniel Norris. Dixon Machado.
If somebody wanted Dixon and they were willing to give me something of interest, I would listen. I love Dixon, but.
So you're saying there's three guys on our club who are young, cost controlled, and are excellent players?
Yes.
That's not good, dude.
I mean, do you have anyone else on that?
Did we say McCann?
We didn't say him, but I think that was for good reason.
That's not good. That's not good.
No, I mean, there's no way that Zimmerman, probably Upton, or Miggy will move. So that's three guys that don't fall into that category, but they're there for the long haul. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that.
Right.
But
yeah, we have Zimmerman until 2020, and we're paying him. Yeah.
Yeah. Might as well get comfy and look forward to the fish fries.
Yeah. 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 All right. Well, that's making me sad.
But, you know, we do have Fulmer and Norris. And if Boyd can get back to even halfway decent, I mean, that's three. That's three of our starting pitchers that are worth looking up to.
Okay. Tell me this. So we've had Buck Farmer do his thing. And he had 13 scoreless innings, and then he allowed 13 runs over 4 2/3 inning in his next two. So which is the real Buck Farmer?
I think the second two starts are regression to the mean. I think, I mean, clearly the answer is he's somewhere in the middle. He's not, he's not to go out and throw two back-to-back, you know, scoreless starts. Like, he's just not that good. We both know that. He's not that bad either. He's somewhere in the middle. And I still think that he's going to help us most coming out of the bullpen. I mean, he has a bullpen arsenal. I mean, there's no getting around that. He doesn't throw, you know, he can't keep the velocity up long enough to stay as a starter. So what do? You use him in shorter bursts. Like, it feels pretty, but, you know, let him go down there.
Sorry, that was a little tangent.
Oh, I feel like the whole show is just a little tangent. So.
All right, what do we got next?
Let's see. This is one of the questions you had. How quick or long would a rebuild / turnaround be?
Well, I think it... You brought it up. Are you gonna burn the thing completely to the ground, or are you gonna, you know, try to keep some of your pieces? I mean, you got to keep a few of these pieces just because you can't get rid of them. For me, I think this is gonna be kind of a long process. You need young guys who are cost controlled, who are gonna enter the primes of their careers. So you need really excellent players who are becoming 24 and 25 and 26 years old. That's how you get good. And I got to thinking about this more and more. And our model that worked in 2006, 2007 was we added Pudge, we added Maglio, and that worked, right? Mm-hmm. We spent some decent money and we had bits and pieces around them and it worked, right? But lately, it hasn't worked. You know, we add Upton, we add Zimmerman, and you pay big money for these guys, and it's just too late. You know, it's too late. It's not enough. This model is not working like it did early, and I still feel like we're in the old paradigm. And the new paradigm is what the Astros are doing, what the Cubs are doing. They draft high players. They accumulate young, high draft pick caliber players, no matter what it takes. And then you hope they develop into something, because you look at the very best players in the league right now, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout. These guys are not on their second contracts. They're still on their very first deal. And to me, you don't build around free agents. You hire free agents to fill around the core of young players that you have. And I feel like that is the new paradigm. And there's a new premium and emphasis being placed on younger players, more explosive players.
So is that, do we have the faith in Avila to move towards, to recognize that the paradigm has changed and to move towards it? I mean, we don't have a choice, obviously. He's the guy in charge. But
right. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, you look at, it's hard to say because you don't have enough data. And I see a lot of people piling on Al Avila. And I'm like, I just don't see the data there where he's made so many missteps. But his background and his associations, you know, with Dombrowski and stuff would lead you to believe that maybe he's not ready for this. I don't know.
Yeah, Skitch actually wrote a very interesting article on Bless You Boys. I don't know if it was – I read it today, so I don't know if it was published today or when it was. It was much –
Skitch wrote?
Much longer than I was anticipating, too. It actually took me quite a while to get through it. But his,
did Skitch spell most of the words right?
Most of the words. It was really good, actually. His main point was, just like you said, we haven't actually seen what Avila can do. He's been working with, you know – $15 million to come up with 60% of the roster, which, you know, that is a fair point. And I think you said it perfectly. We're not going to know what he can do until we let him do it. I do think there's enough forward thinking there. I don't know if he's good enough if he's going to be able to execute it, but I do think there's enough forward thinking there that he knows that the current, you know, like you said, paradigm just isn't working. Like, there's a new way of thinking.
Well, and the old paradigm has been dictated from on high from Mike Ilitch. Like, no, I want proven free agents that I'm willing to spend for them. That's what we do. That's what we can do. I mean, it was a guy like Avila who had to talk Ilitch off the Chris Davis train.
Woof. That would have been a disaster.
Well, exactly. But Avila was kind of given this model or paradigm. But if you gave him a new model and said, all right, we're going to do it a new way, you know, maybe he can do that.
Time will tell, but I have a feeling that we are getting much closer to that. And, you know, Twitter has been very vicious towards him, especially over the last, week or so. And we're not going to change your minds, but, you know, he's the GM. Like, he is our guy. That's who we have. So you might as well start looking for some of the bright signs. Okay, so before we move on completely, this is something that I've just been kicking around in my mind. Like, I don't have any facts here, so this is just discussion. What type of return do you think right now JD Martinez brings us?
I think he gets you a 1A type prospect. So not the best prospect in your system, but it might be the second best or third best guy in a very good system. I think it's that kind of guy. He's going to land you a top 40 prospect, but he's not going to land you one of the top 10 or 20 guys.
So he's kind of in that same range as Cespedes, bringing us back a Fulmer. Because when Fulmer came over, he wasn't even the number one in the Met system. That was a very nice system.
I'm trying to think. He might yield you a little bit more than Cespedes, but yeah, in kind of that range, I would say.
Because he is the big piece. What we do with him is going to go a long way into, you know, determining how well this rebuild goes. And, you know, we get really involved in him. We see him play every night. We know he's a really, really good player. But, you know, we don't actually know how he's viewed around baseball. And, you know, the Brewers are going to need some power. Are they going to be willing to give us a Lewis Brinson or someone like that to try and bring him back? I don't know. Which also would be a really good name. That's
Lewis Brinson.
That's who I want patrolling center field in Comerica.
You're going to get 10 attaboys if that actually happens.
No, I'm not. Nobody's going to remember that.
I'll give you an attaboy.
Thanks. Okay, so let's move on to where we're all at. And that is maybe a little disillusioned with the team, maybe a little fed up. You brought up this question. Are you a bad fan if you kind of start to tune out right now?
Well, first of all, they're out west right now. So that doesn't help.
We all have an excuse. No, nobody's staying up for this crap.
Right now. It's so hard. I was going to watch the whole game last night. I was going to stay up. I don't know if I got into the second inning. I was sleeping. Then I saw some of the fifth inning, and I'm like, this is it. I was toast. No, to me, I find this fascinating about sports fandom, right? Sports fandom is the only realm in which you are disparaged as a consumer if you do not continue to consume a bad product. All right.
Yeah.
For example, if you are a big fan of Chipotle, okay, you like Chipotle, you have a Chipotle shirt, you go there every day, and let's just say they have a Listeria outbreak, a bacterial, and you say, no, their product has bacteria. I'm not going to go there. Can you imagine people piloting, oh, you're not a real Chipotle fan. You're not sticking with them, even if it's bad. No, healthy people would say this product is bad. I'm not going to consume it. This is sports fandom. Why do the Lions keep getting all these people? It's because, well, I got to support them through thick and thin. There's something a little pathological about this. And it's unique to the world of sports, I swear.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, I watch sports like I feel like watching soccer kind of has opened my eyes to this. Like, the people watch soccer. I mean, obviously there are the diehards that if you don't win every game, like, that's a problem. But it's almost seen more as a spectacle. Like, it's bringing some enlightenment and, you know, entertainment to your life. And that you're watching that for the enjoyment, not like, you know, you're trying to win some good fan merit badge.
Right.
And, I don't know. I feel like in all aspects of life, people need to just do you. Like, if somebody thinks about your viewership, like, then they need more things going on in their life than to be worried about how much or how little, like, you're consuming. I don't know. Yep. You can be a good Tigers fan and take a step back. And, you know, maybe this is the time when we all need to take a little step back, reevaluate the fact that them rebuilding probably isn't going to impact our day-to-day lives quite as much as maybe we might think.
Right. And I've said this especially about spring training games, but the same thing applies to the regular season. Is you be a fan and enjoy baseball however you want to. If you're an old, if you're a grandma who's never seen a baseball game, but you have a friend who has a suite and you can come and sit in a suite and eat chicken fingers and never peek at the game, enjoy that. Wear your Tiger shirt and go do that. No, that's fine. If you want to go to the game and sit in the bleachers and look at your cell phone and take selfies with your friends, fine. I don't care. If you want to obsess about every little thing and be grumpy like Tokars and just be a grump about everything, that's fine too. Just be grumpy. Nobody cares about how you nobody should care about how you fan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fan how you want. Like, do just about, unless you're hurting somebody, do whatever you want, how you want. Like, you're the one that has to live with your choices. Like,
yes.
No, nobody else. Anyone else who has, you know, concerns with that needs more to do.
Yeah.
Now that we've and I will admit right now, I have a little Tigers fatigue. Like, I watched, what, every game last week, you know, before they went out on the West Coast. Yep. And I more or less came away with like, oh, dude, why did I just spend 3.5 hours watching? Like, what did that? And there wasn't even Johnny Cane to look at. Like, it was just dull. But, you know, it's nice that they're on the West Coast. You know, I'll tune in when I can. But, you know, I don't push myself when they're out there. Let's just say that. OK, we are running very long. So let's just jump in. One more topic. Actually, two more topics. Both quick. Anibal, obviously him coming back and starting yesterday was some sort of prearranged agreement. Yeah. Is that okay with you? Because he was not good down in Toledo before he came back.
Yeah, I think it, like you said, it was very clear that this was a prearranged thing. And it wasn't, you're going down to the minors, like some kind of punishment, not a punishment, but just due to lack of performance. No, this was like a bargain with him. Just like, let us send you down. And if you agree, we'll bring you back up as a starter. And I think that was the key that attracted Anibal to agree to that move.
Yeah. And to be fair, if his return start hadn't came right on the back of the awful homestand when Buck got destroyed on Sunday, I don't think it would have been quite as noticeable, but going Buck and then Anibal, like, it felt like we were kind of throwing it in the towel in back-to-back games when we really started to need to go in a different direction. So, you know.
But this told you a little bit about what the organization thought about Boyd and maybe Farmer to say, hey, we see the writing on the wall that we might need a new fifth starter.
I don't understand why they keep skipping over my boy. Drew Verhagen, when he gets up, he's going to spin. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Keep beating that drum, Hall.
I will. Okay, so last thing, Matt Manning's debut tonight in Connecticut. 4 1/3, 3 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts.
Yes.
Nine strikeouts. I mean,
gives you something to hope on.
Is he the best starting pitching prospect in the history of baseball? I mean, is that what we can read into this?
He certainly is. He is the hope. He is the future of baseball. He is Clayton Kershaw's better clone.
Who's better, him or Joe Jimenez? Who's more likely to save the world?
Oh, it's got to be Manning now. We've got a taste of Jimenez's flaws. Matt Manning has no flaws.
He might be the Batman.
He's perfectly dreamable.
What do you think G-Money's impact has been on him so far?
Nothing but positive. G-Money's going to coach him up. Oh, man. I was reading, I forget the exact quotes, but I was reading like the Whitecaps magazine. They're interviewing G-Money. Is something about Matt. Yeah, I think I'll give it a shot. Or it was some very casual kind of comments. And I'm like, this is complete Gerald Laird.
It's great to have him back in the organization.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Rod's thrilled.
G-Money.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, you ready to move on to the power rankings?
Yeah. You mentioned at the intro, time for some fun and games. This is, in fact, our 50th episode. I feel like it's felt like a little bit of work up until this point. It's time to celebrate a little bit, Hall. Acknowledge our accomplishments and revel in joy. So what I've done is I've compiled a list of all the previous power rankings, and I've sent them to you. So we got to find a way to post them or put them up someplace.
Yeah, so, I'll get them on. Probably not tonight, but maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. And so in preparation for that, I re-listened to some of them, and I accumulated the list. And I'm proud to say that I've gotten none wrong. I mean, all the power rankings are correct.
So they all hold up?
Yeah, they're all perfectly good. So, without further ado, this week's power rankings is a power rankings of previous power rankings.
Of course.
Of course. All right, here we go. Are you ready?
Oh, couldn't be more ready. Been ready since episode one.
All right. Number seven is things that represent happiness. This is just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, this was, in fact, I got the list in front of me. This was 2 weeks ago. And this is the only time I've broken my 7-3 format. But, I mean, when you have things like hugs and rainbows and smiles and kittens and puppies, that's pretty good.
Yeah, what could you have left off that list to whittle it down to 7?
Yeah, you had to go to 10. So number 6 was state flags.
That was a good one.
I really liked state flags. You know, we talked about the swallowtail flag of Ohio and Colorado and the Maryland flag. There's good stuff in state flags. It's low on the list this far because it's a little bit visual in nature.
And this is, one might say, an audio podcast.
Right. This is an audio podcast.
I low-key love flags. Like, I could name just about any flag of any country on earth and tell you, like, what flag it is.
Really?
Yes.
It's a hidden talent. We have to have flag off.
Yeah, it's one of those things that will never in any way enhance my life, but I'm very good at it.
Sure, it will. I mean, if you're watching a golf tournament or the Olympics
I do shine during the Olympics.
We all have our skills. All right. Number 5 was all the way back from episode 3.
Really?
And this was first date activities. I really like first date activities. We got to talk about the zoo and minor league games and going to the museum.
That might be the most correct power ranking you've ever presented.
They're all correct.
They're all various degrees of correct. That one I pretty much agreed with you from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good power ranking.
It was.
Okay. Number 4 is a fairly recent favorite, and that is Tigers organization names. And we were introduced to the wonder that is Ulrich Bojarski. I still follow some Ulrich Bojarski on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And if you see some guy who looks like a total bro posing with, like, flexing, you know it's Bojarski.
Big boy Bojarski.
Yeah. Big boy Bojarski.
When he gets to the big leagues, watch out.
I hope he does. I really do. He's got a future in, like, fitness modeling.
Yeah, he's going to be an Instagram model. Him and Iggy. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Let Iggy get him under his wings.
So good. All right. Number 3 is actually a power rankings that was not on this podcast. So Voice of the Turtle. I think both of us went to Voice of the Turtle. Their episode 26. And I did the Pop-Tarts power rankings, and probably this Power Rankings generated the most tweets and comments. And to refresh your memory, S'mores was number one. But we had, I think Hook Slide was pretty stunned at the depth of conversation about Pop-Tarts that we had. It still comes up.
He ought not to have been. I mean, that's a pretty hot take, or, you know, hot topic.
It's important. It's important work.
Remind me, where did the wild berry come in on that one? Because that
was second to worst.
What? That is fire emoji personified.
Listen, wild berry is not even a real berry.
Yes, it is. It's an amalgamation of berries.
Yeah, that's trash. Pick a berry. Is it black? It's like purple. What? That's trash. It's still trash.
See, over a year later, and we're still getting heated about this.
Yeah. Wild
berry.
That's
what Power Rankings will do to you.
Yeah. All right. Number two, this may come as a bit of an upset, was Models of Minivan. I feel like the buildup to Models of Minivan was as important or more important than the actual Models of Minivan.
The buildup to that was what kept the show going through the first season.
And we had different shticks around Models of Minivan. We talked a lot about Models. It was fun. I hope you appreciated Models of Minivan.
I did, because I knew a lot of the specifics about these Models of Minivan, so it really resonated with me.
Changed your life, didn't it? Number one, the best Power Rankings of all of the 49 Power Rankings. Do you want to take a guess?
Yes, I do think that I know which one it was, because I'm pretty sure that I texted you about this one earlier, and that would be the species of domestic wood. Is that number one?
Oh, no, it's not number one. We're going to talk about it more, but it's not number one. Number one is pies. Pies was the best one. We had Chris Iodine on. And it was episode 30, and Pies was hilarious. I'll never forget he was just ridiculing me and laughing at me, because he goes, coconut cream is a showy pie. I listened to it and I cracked up again. He's like totally making fun of me, which I deserved.
Absolutely.
But that came right on the heels of Models of Minivan, so it was a big couple weeks there for us.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, worst three. Here we go.
You're just going to pick the ones that I didn't, aren't you?
I thought about that. I'm just going to pick all the ones that Jordan did. No, I decided I better own up to some of my own weaknesses, which are very few. Number three was potato preparations. I feel like it didn't come real strong with this. And I missed chips.
Oh.
Which is clearly a top three or four potato preparation.
Absolutely.
And I didn't have it. I added it kind of later as we discussed it, but I feel like it was a fumbled mess, and I still feel bad about that.
You should.
I know.
The listeners deserve better.
They do. Number two was Donald's.
The most controversial of the Power Rankings.
This earned us our one and only one star iTunes review from the guy who was very serious about defending the honor of Donald Trump after my poor flippant comment about President Trump.
My favorite was that Don Quixote made your top seven.
Don Quixote. Yep, tilting at windmills. It wasn't, maybe it's not so bad, because Donnie Kelly was number one.
Of course
we got to talk about Donald Sterling and Don Imus. I mean, we got a lot of Don.
Both of those two Dons were probably happy to hear their name mentioned once again in regards to sports.
That was very like 2009 or something when I don't know when those were popular. Okay, where are we? Number one worst. You want to guess?
There's too many to guess from, so just go ahead and hit me.
It's species of wood. Species of wood was the worst one. I listened to some of it again, and you could not have been less interested in species of wood. Your voice is like, yeah. It was far too technical, and we're talking about, you know, maple and birch and stuff, and you're like, Okay. Species of Wood was the worst. What was I thinking? That was a horrible power rankings. That's it. That's the 50th power rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Wow, that was amazing. I feel like we all went down memory lane.
Man, I was looking through the list here. Some fun stuff, you know. Michigan game fish species.
Oh yeah, brook trout. Brook trout.
Farm animals. Pizza toppings.
We did a lot of animals early on. We need to get back to that.
Animals. Yeah, we can. Holidays.
That's a good one.
Hot. Donuts. Donuts was almost up there. That was pretty hot.
Yeah.
Keys on a computer keyboard. That was fire.
And to be fair to your species of wood, I'm a much better liar, like vocal liar now. So I think that if you'd done that one now, I would have been much better. Like, oh, that's that ash tree. That's so, a very interesting tree.
So full of crap, Paul. You hated species of wood.
I'm the type that will – somebody will ask me what type of tree that is because I work at a campground, so we have trees everywhere. And I haven't the first clue. Like – tree
ash.
Yeah, I know ash tree because all of our ash trees got cut down because of the emerald ash borer. That's the sum total of my tree knowledge.
So what else do we got, Hall?
Yeah, here's to another 50 power rankings.
Yeah, another 50. Why not? I already have many more topics that I can bore you with.
Oh boy. So
what did we see along the side of the road?
I actually have a super hot one for you this week. So I was running in this neighborhood. It's up by this lake that's still like the neighborhood's still in development. Like there's a few houses, but it's mostly just like empty roads and lots and stuff. Like you can tell they're gonna build, but they haven't done it yet. So anyways, I'm up there running. I'm in this empty cul-de-sac. And I see a fully put together Swiffer wet jet, you know, like the mops just laying in the road. And obviously, you know, sometimes I take things a little too far. Immediately, my mind goes to like, how did this get here? Like, what's a scenario where this piece of household cleaning equipment leaves the cozy confines of someone's house, travels, I don't know, quarter, half mile from the nearest house and ends up on this empty road?
Like, so did you develop a narrative that fits that?
I think it was a dump. I think somebody committed a crime with it and thought, you know, I'll leave this here. I didn't fingerprint it, so, you know, who knows?
Like somebody was murdered via a Swiffer?
Yeah. Can't rule it out.
Mr. Green in the cul-de-sac with the Swiffer?
I think that's what this world's coming to.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into Twitter questions. Are you good at that?
Yes.
We have quite a few. Some of them are good. Some of them are not. So let's go back to the beginning. Okay. I asked, what do you want us to talk about / what questions do you have? John Fine says, is this week's podcast just going to be a lot of sobbing?
No, some sobbing.
It was a celebration in some regards too.
Yeah. So we're happy people. Can't let life or facts get us down.
Yeah. I love the Tigers, but the results of their game probably don't affect me for more than 10 minutes after the game. That's about when I'm ready to move on to anything else.
Yeah, they don't have a huge emotional impact on me. Not like they used to.
No. When United lose or draw against somebody they shouldn't, that can ruin my day. But the Tigers, they play so often. Like,
yeah. Now, if they were to lose a big playoff game or something, I could wear that for a day or two. I'm ashamed to say, but yeah.
I don't think we're going to have to worry about that one for a while.
No.
Okay. At Breslin Birds asked us, I don't know if you guys are recording to know, but what's the answer to the center field question?
What's the center field question?
Who is good that can play out there? I think I answered that earlier when I suggested that we go out and trade for Lewis Brinson.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that simple.
It's not anybody we currently have. I mean, is Jacoby Jones going to hit more?
No, he's not. Like, I don't want to get into this, but I don't know what anyone has seen out of Jacoby Jones that makes you think, you know what? That guy, if we stick with him long enough, he's going to be a decent major league hitter. Like, he just isn't. And you can at me about that if you want, but I've seen him with
doesn't have the plate approach.
Yes. And I don't know. Maybe that's something that he can develop. It doesn't seem like he has, though. right now, Presley and Matuk, like, I actually don't mind that. Against left-handed hitters, Matuk is not a left-handed pitchers, Matuk is not a terrible baseball player.
Dude, Presley and Matuk are trash.
What are what are the other options? I mean, we love Romine. He hasn't exactly
I'm telling you, nobody we currently have on this roster is an answer for a center fielder.
Yes, that's just not. That's the correct answer.
And I'm looking up and down our organization, and Derek Hill is going to have to get healthy fast and look like something we haven't seen from Derek Hill. I have not been a big Derek Hill buyer, and I still am not. But he was a high draft pick and was pretty toolsy. But Derek Hill, to me, is not the answer either.
What about we could move Woodrow from shortstop to center field? Woody. You see, he made a Midwest League All-Star team. Had 5 hits in a game recently. That's your boy.
Good for Woody.
That's your boy.
He's going to have to grow a little bit. He's not very big.
He's got the height. He just needs the girth.
Okay.
David Bratz? Asks us, I get the talk about what's up with Miggy, but no one seems to notice Kinsler is hitting 240. Is age catching up to him?
Probably.
Yeah. I think we knew coming into this year that what he did last year was not sustainable. I didn't expect him to go quite this far down the poop chute, if you will. But we knew
he played his behind off last year.
And he's played his behind off this year too. It's just the results haven't been there. Like, I mean, nobody could ever question his effort. Like he gives it everything
he
has.
I guess that's not what I mean. I guess we were pleasantly surprised at what he gave us last year, I should say.
I guess that's true. And to be fair, I think a lot of our offensive woes, not that the offense has been the problem all the time, but when he's going, we go as a team much better. I mean, that's just a fact. When your leadoff guy's going, you're going to score more runs.
And I have to tell you, when we first got Ian Kinsler, I thought the guy was going to be kind of a jerk. But his attitude and he's been pretty good. His personality is better than what I initially thought he was going to be like.
Yeah, he's serious. He isn't a jerk. He's serious. Just very serious.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Cam Gerard asks us, now that the Tiger season is over, which team should I root for? Rockies, Astros, Indiana Fever, Edmonton Eskimos?
Newcastle United.
Oh, my gosh. Might as well just throw away your season. Speaking of soccer, this is the next one in the list. Nick Batani asks us, your favorites to win the Confederations Cup?
Germany.
Have you seen any of the games so far?
No.
The Mexico-Portugal game was like 7 fire emojis. It was really good. Mexico is – I know as Americans, we're supposed to not – as American soccer fans, we're not supposed to like the Mexican team. But I kind of love the Mexican soccer team. They have so many good players, so many fast, tricky players. And obviously Chicharito used to play for United.
They have not won Santos, but Dos Santos.
And they have Dos Santos.
Cuatro Santos,
so many Santos,
Más
Santos than any other team in the tournament. So that's there you go, Nick. Mexico's gonna win it. Evan at EvanKen95 SS, in honor of the Safeco toasted grasshoppers, what's the weirdest thing you've eaten? You have to have you have to have a story here.
I usually play it pretty safe when it comes to food, but when I was littler, somebody told me, and I don't know if this is true, but they told me that you can eat the wrapper on the gum. So you just like pop the whole gum and the wrapper into your mouth and you can eat it and the wrapper will dissolve. And I was pretty gullible. So I did it. And I think I pretty much ate the gum wrapper. I'm here to talk about it, but I don't feel like that's really food.
It's true. Until very recently, I wasn't aware that like the light spots on berries was mold. So I've consumed a lot of berries with mold on it. Whitney was actually the one that enlightened me that. Yeah, I mean, once again, clearly I'm still here, but it probably wasn't my best move.
As far as exotic foods, I don't think I've really eaten many exotic foods. I come from a real hunting background, so a lot of, wild game type stuff, like, elk meat and stuff like that. But that's not crazy.
Elk are so majestic. How could you shoot an elk? Don't have to go down that road. Anthony Troia, the only Troia brother to write in this week. So he clearly is now
the best Troia.
The best Troia. Since I have a day job and this week is a wash for watching, can you amuse me with silly banter and nonsense? I think we've covered that one.
Yeah, we're trying our best, Troia.
Matt Snyder asks us, might be too late. Might be too late to submit. No, it's not. We gotcha. I want to know what TV show we should watch instead of the Tigers.
Game of Thrones is coming up next month.
Nerd.
Do you do Game of Thrones?
I do not.
Oh, man.
I don't like serious shows. I primarily only watch funny shows.
Gotcha.
I'm afraid of getting deep. Is that okay to say?
Do you want to talk about it?
No, absolutely not. And that's actually not true. No, the show that you should watch, have you seen any of Master of None on Netflix?
Is that with Aziz Ansari or whatever?
Yeah, it's really good. It has a kind of a certain Seinfeld-y vibe to it. Like, you know, in Seinfeld, like, the minutiae is the show, whereas in this, the minutiae is the humor, and the real life stuff kind of makes up the plot line. Like it's essentially the same
It's a show about nothing.
Yeah, it's about this I don't think he's a comedian. I think he's an actor. You know, living his early 30s life in New York. Like there's a lot of similarities. And it's not the same show, but it's very funny. All right, and last one is Johnny Ryder 2, spelled like Johnny Peralta, as you would. What are you doing to stay awake on the West Coast trip? Not going to bed.
Yeah, there's a lot of presumptions in that question that we cannot accept.
We're old. I mean, I'm not as old as you, clearly, but
easy there, bud.
I can't handle that. Like, I gotta wake up for work in the morning. I've taken as much as possible. Clearly not much tonight because we're talking, but I consume what I can and then I make up the rest. It's pretty much what we're all doing in all areas of our life.
That's true. Yep.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can podcastianos.com. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. I'm considering changing my Twitter handle. How do you feel about that? I don't know to what, but
what's LeBron's number? Because Jordan is not the greatest number anymore. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's just I've had this one for a while. I'm thinking something different.
Because is it Jordan Hall 23?
Yeah, 23 was my baseball number in college. So that's,
because of Jordan, no, Michael Jordan.
No, yes. Just what I was assigned. And, I mean,
it's not because it was a coincidence that your name is Jordan and Michael Jordan wore 23.
I mean, it might have went into the decision making, but it was given to me by the coach, not by what I took.
You should be Jordan Hall 40.
40?
Yeah, because of Phil Koch's number Mike Allstott's number. My favorite football player ever.
Of course. What's Blaine's number?
Yeah, look that up.
Yeah.
You should be, I don't know, I'll think about it, something amazing.
That would be good. If you guys have any suggestions for me and have made it to this point in the show, first of all, kudos. But yeah, at me with them. I should just go with Jordinho. I mean, I think that's the obvious one.
How about Hall of Fame?
Oh, that's clever. That'd be hashtag wordplay all over the place.
Or Hall of Lame.
No, that's negative towards me. I'm a very self-positive person. I think I'm very good. Where was I at in the Instagram at Jordinho4, facebook.com/podcastianos, and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever. Make it funny and we'll read it and we'll all have a good time. It helps the show. It'll give you some FaceTime. It's good. It's a win-win-win, as Michael Scott would say.
Yep.
Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the 50th time?
Thanks for listening. Right. This has been a lot of fun. At the beginning, I didn't know if this was going to work or what this was going to be. But, you know, it's not a huge endeavor and we're not trying to make it something it's not. But it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for all your comments. And I can't speak for Jordan, but for me, it's been a good time.
Yeah, all of those things. I enjoy like when something that somebody will make a joke about something you said and I'm like, oh, I get that. I was there for that. Like, that's cool. Right. We have a little inside jokes with like 100 people on the internet. There are worse things than that.
It's good times.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.